Good morning. This is Mark Mays, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Once again, it's good to be with you today, and we trust that today we can be a blessing to you and to your family. Let's ask the Lord this morning to help us as we spend a few moments together. Father, we are thankful, Lord, for this day. We're thankful, Lord, for just many blessings that you've given to us. We thank you, Lord, for just your written word, that, Father, that you have preserved for us. Father, we can have the absolute confidence in it and in you, Lord, because, Lord, you've given us your word. You've kept it. You've purified it. And, Lord, it's tried and true. And we're thankful, Lord, this morning for that. We have a source of absolute truth. And, Lord, help us this morning as we look to your word, that you allow the Holy Spirit of God to minister to our hearts, to challenge each and every one of us. Lord, you know us better than we know ourselves. Sometimes we humans, Lord, we think we know one another pretty well. Sometimes we think we've got ourselves figured out. But the reality is, Lord, nobody knows us like you do. So, Lord, based upon what you know about us, help us, Lord, please. Speak to our hearts, challenge us this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In our Bibles, in the book of Proverbs 20, verse number 24, the Bible says, "Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way?" Biblical Principles for Practical Living. It's a series I've been on for some time, looking through primarily the book of Proverbs for biblical principles. So often today, we human beings, we Christians, we can allow our emotions to take control, and we end up responding, or reacting, I should say, to circumstances in life instead of responding. A reaction suggests that you're dealing with something based upon the heat of the moment. A response indicates that you have pre-thought or thought ahead of circumstances that you would be involved in and came to a conclusion about your conduct, and then you implement that course of action. So you either react or respond. If you react, it's by the heat of the moment. If you respond, it's by principles. And that's what we're trying to develop in our lives this morning. Biblical principles, letting the Word of God set the parameters of our conduct and then and establish those and then act within those. In chapter 20 there, the Bible says, "Man's goings are of the Lord." In Psalm 37:23, the Bible says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." Notice that phrase, "the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." It's suggesting here, obviously, that the Lord is overseeing or directing or orchestrating a man's life. Of course, it could be a man, woman, boy, or girl. In Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." Now, Jeremiah understood that God was having, if you would, an oversight in people's lives. He says, "It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." In other words, God is directing and leading. Daniel chapter 5, 23, but has lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessel of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk the wine in them, and thou hast praised the God of silver and gold and brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified." Daniel is speaking here, and he's confronting one, and he says, "The God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified." Daniel was stressing that it is God who is holding the breath of our life. It is God who is directing our path. You know, here's a question. Well, the Bible says in Proverbs 16:9, "A man's heart deviseth his own way, but the Lord directeth his steps." Man deviseth his own way, but it is the Lord that directs his steps. You get to thinking about all of these verses, along with Proverbs 20:24, "Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way?" You come to the understanding, at least I do, that, you know, it is God who is ultimately directing our lives. And I understand that he is responding to the decisions we make, and based upon that, he's leading and guiding us. I believe every human being on the face of the earth, God's purpose is to bring them to himself. God spoke of Israel of old. He bore them upon eagle's wings and brought them unto himself. I believe that everything that happens in our lives individually is in course with God's plan to bring us to himself. That's why all of our lives are so different. But the end result is all the same. God's trying to bring us to him. And that's what he's trying to do in my life, your life, and everyone else's life. That's why no two people are exactly the same. That's why God's not a cookie cutter in humanity. We're all different, and he's all trying to get us to the same direction, but we're all in different places, so it all takes different courses to get us to that same direction. If our destination is in the middle of the United States this morning, and all of us were heading to the exact same destination, we'd all take different courses, different roads, different route numbers, different interstate numbers, but the end result would be that one certain place. The same thing with God is that God is that destination. God desires for all of us to come to him. We're all in different places in our lives, but God's going to direct us to himself. So here's a question. If man cannot understand his own way in life, how then can he understand the way of somebody else's life? Why is it that so many times people end up sticking their nose in other people's affairs with the presumption that they know the ins and outs of another person's life? You know, if we cannot figure out our own lives, then how can we figure out somebody else's life and know for certain all of what God is doing in their life? You know, there's a principle here to be considered. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:15, it says, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters." That brings the principle that I want us to look at this morning, or a busybody in other men's matters. Here's the principle, basically this: we ought to mind our own business. We ought to mind our own business. And so as we look at our life, sometimes we may direct or devise our own life, but it is God who directs it. We may have a certain idea or plan. We may have come up with some dream of ours, but it is truly God who is directing the ins and outs of our life. So if we can't fully comprehend all that what's taking place in our life, we certainly can't figure it out in someone else's. And yet there are those who are presumptuous in assuming that they've got somebody's life figured out and why they are the way they are and all the ins and outs. But you know, we ought not to be a busybody. There's something to be said about minding your own business. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, "And that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you." Notice that you do your own business. Paul brings that point out there in 2 Thessalonians 3:11. The Bible says, "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies." So Paul is likening here being a busybody to someone who's walking disorderly. Not minding your business is being disorderly. In 1 Timothy 5:13, the Bible says, "And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not." And so here's a biblical principle. Here's how we ought to respond in life. Something happens around us, and something's taking place in somebody else's life. It's their business. It's not ours. Now, that's not to say we can't be a friend, and we can't help, and we can't lend ourselves to people to encourage them to help meet needs. But ultimately, what God is doing in their life is between that person and God. It's none of our business. And it's certainly not our business to be meddling in their life. If they call upon us for help or for counsel, so be it. But to interject our lives into somebody else's is walking disorderly. To be a busybody is to be disorderly. We just ought not do that. And sometimes in Christianity, we fail to understand this very simple principle. Just mind your own business. There's something to be said about sitting around minding your own business. And that's a good principle. Would God that we would learn to just mind our own business. We would be better off if we would do so. And I think others would be better off by having us not stick our nose in their business. And so I find a principle here that teaches me, you know, Mark, just mind your own business and let God take care of that person, and you just let God take care of your life. And that's good advice, and we'd be well advised to take heed to that. Let's jump over to verse number 28. There's another principle I'd like for us to consider. The Bible says in verse 28, mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. Now, the word preserve there means to guard in a good sense, or in a bad sense, it means to besiege or to hide a thing. So you're preserving something. Proverbs 16:6 says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Psalm 61:7 says, he shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. And then in Proverbs 3:1-3, the Bible says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. We're talking about mercy and truth. God places mercy and truth. And he says, these preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. A quick reminder that these working together can bring much good, but one without the other causes an unbalance in life, which can bring much harm and ruin to either yours or somebody else's life. The Lord deals with us both with mercy and with truth, and we ought to be very glad that he does both. Mercy, we often say, is God not giving to us what we deserve. I like that definition. Grace is God given to us what we don't deserve, and mercy is God not given to us what we do deserve. So if God is not giving to us what we deserve, and that's his mercy, that means we're not dealt with according to our iniquities. And we know that that's true. The book of Psalm teaches us that. And thank God for that. Aren't you glad this morning God has not dealt with you according to your iniquity? I'm certainly glad he has not dealt with me according to mine, because the wages, at the very base of it, the wages of sin is death. So I would have died and gone to hell because of my sin. But God's not dealt with me according to my sin that way. He's been merciful. I'm glad he has. And I'm glad he's been merciful in many, many other ways as well. And I recognize that this morning. But the Bible says mercy and truth preserve the king. Now, truth would be, which has the idea of being stability, trustworthiness. It's the idea of just the facts, if you would, the facts of life, so to speak. So if I have mercy given to me, in other words, I'm not given what I deserve, but also I need truth, though. I need the facts of life. I need to be told when I'm wrong. I need to be told when I'm doing something that's harmful. I need to be rebuked sometimes. I need to be reproved sometimes. I need to be dealt with harshly sometimes. I need to be chastened sometimes. So I can't just have all mercy in my life, because I'll not benefit from that. Now, I do benefit from it, but I can't have all mercy because it'll ruin me. And then I need truth. I need sternness. I need reproof. I need rebuke. I need somebody to be, you know, rigid with me. But, you know, if that's all I get, then I'm going to be callous and I'm going to grow bitter. So I need a balance. I need a balance of mercy and truth. And so we look at this principle this morning. I think God's just teaching us something here, that God expects us to deal with others around us in our family units, in our workplaces, in our churches, our neighborhoods, whatever, our communities. God wants us to deal with people with a combination of mercy and truth. In other words, it can't be all mercy, because you won't get anything done. If it's all mercy, all mercy would be like a child who's growing up in a home and he never gets disciplined, does anything he wants to do. You're going to have utter chaos in years to come if you keep that up. That child needs to have mercy, yes, but he also needs to have some hard facts of life, and he needs to learn that he can't do anything he wants to do, and there are consequences to decisions. So he needs some truth in his life. If he gets all truth, and he's always rebuked, and he's always chastened, and he's always dealt with harshly, you're going to have a hard individual there. He needs some mercy, but he also needs truth. All of us need this, and God knows that, and that's how he deals with us. He's merciful, and yet he's a God of truth. And God's teaching us, I believe, to one of the ways, one of the principles of living and dealing with people is deal with people with mercy and truth. There is a time for mercy in everybody's life, but there's also a time for truth. And it is the balance that God is wanting us to get with people and ourselves sometimes. And so ask yourself, are you leaning toward the all mercy part? You're making a mistake. Are you one who leans to all truth, all facts and figures, all, you know, just hard-nosed about everything? Then you're making a mistake. You need to have a balance. I need to have a balance of both mercy and truth. God's given us a great source of wisdom here, and we would do well if we would take heed to it, being merciful and also being truthful. And may God help us to see the wisdom of this principle. Well, my time is up. I thank you for listening, and you have a great day.